Josh Frydenberg is the just re-elected member for Kooyong. He's the federal treasurer in Scott Morrison's government. Mr. Frydenberg, good morning and congratulations.
Well, thanks, John. Nice to be with you and your listeners.
Are you in shock?
Look, I'm very pleasantly surprised by the result. It's fair to say that the opinion polls pointed to a narrow loss for the coalition. But this is a seat-by-seat proposition. It came down to the ground game. It came down to the choice between the two parties and the economic plans that each party was communicating to the Australian people. And I'm really, really pleased with the outcome. And a lot of credit goes to the Prime Minister for his conviction, belief and energy through this campaign.
It was an all-or-nothing campaign by Scott Morrison, wasn't it? It all depended on him. You were virtually the only other frontbencher that featured significantly during the campaign.
Look, I think all my colleagues participated, and at the end of the day...
Well, they didn't.
It's at the end of the day, the local members also made a big difference on the ground, particularly in those tightly fought contests. But it's true, Scott Morrison did carry the vast bulk of the burden. I thought he performed very well in the debates, and I thought he showed great energy crisscrossing the country. And clearly the results in Queensland showed that what he had announced around the drought and the floods response and his other initiatives in that part of the country have also hit a chord with the Australian people.
25 years ago, John Hewson went to the Australian people as a Liberal candidate for the Prime Ministership with a complex plan for a GST and failed to explain it sufficiently in order for it to get support. This time, Bill Shorten went to the people with a complex plan for tax reform, failed to explain it. Is this the end of anyone trying to do reform through the ballot box?
Well, I firmly believe that elections should be fought on policies, not personalities, and it's true. The Labor Party had a number of policy initiatives in the tax space, but those policies, we believed, were bad policies. They would have weakened the economy and they would have led to fewer jobs and lower wages.
I understand that. My question, though, is about the structure. Does it mean no one's going to try to put a complex set of ideas to the Australian people during an election campaign ever again?
I think it more underlines the fact that when you do put a vast array of policies like that, particularly in the tax space, to the Australian people, you have to make the case for them.
And which John Howard and Peter Costello did magnificently.
With the GST, correct, yeah. In 98, although 98 was a very close election, as you know. But in relation to what Labor put to the Australian people at this election around the retirees' tax, the housing tax, the superannuation tax, the income tax and the family business tax, coming to $387 billion of higher taxes, that clearly did not resonate with the Australian people in a positive way.
Did your focus groups tell you that Bill Shorten's unlikability was a key ingredient?
Oh, look, obviously the preferred Prime Minister is one aspect of the polling in this, and clearly your view, your knowledge is as good as mine in terms of what the public and published opinion poll showed.
But what did your focus groups tell you by way of intel about the shaping of your campaign?
Well, they said focus on the policy, not the personalities. That was the clear message. And the economic choice at this election. It was said that, you know, Bill Shorten was on a coronation tour at this election, that it was all said and done. But we knew it was a close contest. In fact, the Prime Minister knew better than anyone how much we were in this the minute the starter's gun was fired.
You're more likely than not to be a minority government. Have you spoken, or has anyone spoken, to Zali Steggall, Helen Haynes, Rebecca Sharkey, the people you might depend upon?
Look, I haven't, but we're obviously still very hopeful of forming government in our own right. There's still
plenty of votes.
That
does look unlikely, though, doesn't it?
No, not necessarily.
And you have to find a speaker out of your side.
But there are still a lot of votes still to be counted. And as you know, here in Victoria, we're 500 votes ahead in Chisholm and that voting will continue there today. Corangamite and Dunkley look tougher. They're notionally Labor seats. There's still voting to be conducted and postal votes, particularly in those two seats, and we're not conceding.
But you're not agreeing it's likely to be a minority government either. Can I clarify that?
Well, we absolutely hope to form government in our own right.
All right. But if you do have to make concessions, they'll be on climate change, judging by what is being demanded by some of those crossbenchers, in which case, what do you do?
Well, John, as I just said, we're looking to govern in our own right.
But when Tony Abbott acknowledged that the Labor Party had a better program on climate change, which was hilarious, I might say, at that point in the campaign.
Well, let me make it very clear to your listeners. Climate change is real. We accept the science. We outlined our $3.5 billion climate solutions package, and we'll meet and beat our 2030 target as we beat our earlier targets.
Speaking of Tony Abbott, have you spoken to him?
I haven't, but obviously I saw his speech last night, which I thought was particularly gracious to his opponent there. And he should be remembered as a Prime Minister who delivered free trade agreements with some of our biggest trading partners, namely China, Japan, Korea, and a host of other initiatives which he undertook as Prime Minister.
Am I right to assume you stay on as Treasurer?
Well, that would be my intention.
In which case, what are your priorities? Because the budget that you announced early has various things in the agenda there for you, but it's not as if there's a full program. There's not a lot on the plate by way of legislative reform or infrastructure. There's a few things that depend on state governments, but not a lot.
Well, with the greatest respect, John, there is a major tax legislative agenda there, $158 billion of lower taxes.
And thank you for that.
More than 13 million Australians.
Yeah, I'm very grateful.
And that will be our first priority when it comes to the recalling of the Parliament and our legislative priority. With respect to the budget more broadly, it's an economic plan not just for the next year, but actually for the next decade. And that is sustainable economic management in the face of strong economic headwinds, both domestically and internationally, and that will deliver us the surpluses that we've forecast over the forward estimates, the apprentices that we've committed to creating, the $100 billion of infrastructure spending, the tax cuts, and of course the guaranteed funding on essential services. And what was at the heart of this election is we were promising and committing to do all of those things without increasing taxes, whereas the Labor Party had a high spending, high taxing agenda, which we believed would weaken the Australian economy.
Do you want the Adani mine to go ahead?
We said that if it meets all its approvals, then it should go ahead.
You want it to go ahead?
As I said, it's got to go through a few more approvals. It's already we've accepted the advice of the relevant environmental and scientific agencies, and as I've said, if it goes through the approval processes, it will go ahead.
The latest jobs figures, which came out just as we were preparing to go to the polls, showed that there was a slight uptick in the unemployment. At the same time, the Reserve Bank say they're likely to be cutting interest rates sometime in the future, and the banks are already factoring that in. The prospect of trade wars between China and the US make the future of Australia's economy particularly, well, there are enormous challenges on the horizon.
There are.
How are you going to manage those? What are you going to do?
Well, in the way that we've managed previous challenges that have come to bear. I mean, we have created, through our initiatives as a government, more than 1.3 million new jobs, and we've made a commitment to the Australian people for another 1.25 million new jobs over the next 5 years. The latest job numbers you're referring to did reflect the fact that 28,000 jobs have been created over the last month. We've got over 8 out of every 10 workers coming into the market being in full-time employment. And female workforce participation is now at a record high. Overall workforce participation is at a record high. And the gender pay gap has actually come down to a record low. So we are making progress in the employment market, but that's why our infrastructure spending for the people of Victoria, the money for the East-West Link, if Daniel Andrews gives it the green light, the fast rail between Melbourne and Geelong, the airport rail link, the other initiatives we've got underway, as well as obviously the tax cuts, I think will maintain the strength and the health of the Australian economy.
All right, and just finally, there's been disarray within the Victorian branch of the Liberal Party. Your authority is now cemented. How are you going to fix it?
Well, I'll be sitting down with my colleagues after my Victorian colleagues after this election's results are fully in, and we'll be working out what we can do better here in Victoria.
Because how do you fix the almost factionalised now nature of the Victorian branch of the Liberal Party and the enmities that have come to the fore?
Well, as you said, I think, in your opening, in Victoria, the government has performed pretty well. I mean, it looks, if we do lose Corangamite, that would be a great disappointment because Sarah has really delivered for her community and she was hurt by a redistribution which made her seat notionally Labor. But there's no better or harder working local member than Sarah Henderson. Looks like we've held on to Latrobe, to Deakin, to Higgins, to Kooyong, to a whole host of other seats that were very tight, Flinders.
And keep an eye on Higgins. The distribution of preferences from the Greens are going 85 8% in favour of the Labor Party.
And John, we've got postal votes still
sure,
to come too.
There's a lot of votes.
But there are some close contests here. But in terms of where the Labor Party's expectations were in Victoria, they were hoping to pick up a lot more seats.
I'm talking about the internals, because there's deep divisions. Let's not pretend there aren't. You know all about it.
We've got challenges here in Victoria, and I think they were played out at the state election, where Daniel Andrews had a very convincing victory. So I will sit down with my colleagues.
With your authority now, do you lay down the law in the Victorian branch of the Liberal Party?
Well, it's actually about working out how we as a team can do better to win the trust of the Victorian people and deliver the things that are important to them. At a federal level, in this campaign, we articulated congestion-busting infrastructure projects, which I think did resonate with the Victorian people. We'll continue to work closely with the Andrews government on the delivery of key essential services to Victorians. But we, as Victorian Liberals and Nationals, want to deliver for our broader community, and that's what we'll continue to do.
All right, and we'll never trust pollsters again, will we, any of us?
Well, as you know, John, pollsters got it wrong with Brexit, they got it wrong with Trump, and now they've got it wrong at the federal election here in Australia.
Congratulations again from one JF to another, Mazel Tov, and we'll see how we go with the installation of the second Morrison government, this one elected in its own right.
Well, again, it's a real credit to him and to the team at large. And a lot of the pundits will be scratching their heads today and say, how did this happen?
And the Premier of Victoria, Daniel Andrews, will be joining us shortly, and we'll ask him about the East-West link, as Josh Frydenberg just suggested. The Federal Treasurer and Member for Kooyong, Josh Frydenberg.